Judges 18. In those days, there was no king in Israel. And in those days, the tribe of the Danites was seeking an inheritance for itself to dwell in. Until that day, their inheritance among the tribes of Israel had not fallen to them. So the children of Dan sent 5 men of their family from their territory, men of valor, from Zorah and Eshtaol, to spy out the land and search it. They said to them, "Go, search the land." So they went to the mountains of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, and lodged there. While they were at the house of Micah, they recognized the voice of the young Levite. They turned aside and said to him, "Who brought you here? What are you doing in this place? What do you have here?" He said to them, "Thus and so Micah did for me. He has hired me, and I have become his priest." So they said to him, "Please inquire of God that we may know whether the journey on which we will go will be prosperous." And the priest said to them, "Go in peace. The presence of the Lord be with you on your way." So the 5 men departed and went to Laish. They saw the people who were there, how they dwelt safely in the manner of the Sidonians, quiet and secure. There were no rulers in the land who might put them to shame for anything. They were far from the Sidonians, and they had no ties with anyone. Then the spies came back to their brethren at Zorah and Eshtaol, and their brethren said to them, "What is your report?" So they said, "Arise, let us go up against them. We have seen the land, and indeed it is very good. Would you do nothing? Do not hesitate to go and enter to possess the land. When you go, you will come to a secure people and a large land, for God has given it into your hands, a place where there is no lack of anything that is on the earth." And 600 men of the family of the Danites went from there, from Zorah and Eshtaol, armed with weapons of war. Then they went up and encamped in Kirjath-Jearim in Judah. Therefore they call that place Mahanah Dan to this day. There it is, west of Kirjath-Jearim. And they passed from there to the mountains of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah. Then the 5 men who had gone to spy out the country of Laish answered and said to their brethren, "Do you know that there are in these houses an ephod, household idols, a carved image, and a molded image? Now therefore consider what you should do." So they turned aside there and came to the house of the young Levite man, to the house of Micah, and greeted him. The 600 men armed with their weapons of war, who were of the children of Dan, stood by the entrance of the gate. Then the 5 men who had gone to spy out the land went up. Entering there, they took the carved image, the ephod, the household idols, and the molded image. The priest stood at the entrance of the gate with the 600 men who were armed with weapons of war. When these went into Micah's house and took the carved image, the ephod, the household idols, and the molded image, the priest said to them, "What are you doing?" And they said to him, "Be quiet. Put your hand over your mouth and come with us. Be a father and a priest to us. Is it better for you to be a priest to the household of one man, or that you be a priest to a tribe and a family in Israel?" So the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod, the household idols, and the carved image, and took his place among the people. Then they turned and departed and put the little ones, the livestock and the goods in front of them. When they were a good way from the house of Micah, the men who were in the houses near Micah's house gathered together and overtook the children of Dan. And they called out to the children of Dan. So they turned around and said to Micah, "What ails you that you have gathered such a company?" So he said, "You have taken away my gods, which I made, and the priest, and you have gone away. Now, what more do I have? How can you say to me, 'What ails you?'" And the children of Dan said to him, "Do not let your voice be heard among us, lest angry men fall upon you and you lose your life with the lives of your household." Then the children of Dan went their way, and when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back to his house. So they took the things Micah had made, and the priest who had belonged to him, and went to Laish, to a people quiet and secure. And they struck them with the edge of the sword and burned the city with fire. There was no deliverer because it was far from Sidon, and they had no ties with anyone. It was in the valley that belongs to Beth-Rehob. So they rebuilt the city and dwelt there. And they called the name of the city Dan, after the name of Dan their father, who was born to Israel. However, the name of the city formerly was Laish. Then the children of Dan set up for themselves the carved image, and Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. So they set up for themselves Micah's carved image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. The book of Judges continues to reveal the blindness of people to their sin. Judges 17, verses 12 and 13 had ended with the attitude of a blind people. Look how chapter 17, verses 12 and 13 had ended. Micah had built the idols, had consecrated his son as a priest. Then the Levite came to his door. He had consecrated him a priest. He had a house full of idols. And 17, 12, and 13 had ended to show you the blindness of people to their sin. So Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest, and he lived in the house of Micah. Then Micah said, "Now I know that the Lord will be good to me, since I have a Levite as a priest. Now I know I consecrated this false priest, and now I'm going to be blessed of the Lord." We are again reminded at the start of chapter 18 that there was no king in Israel. When there is no king in the land, when there is no leader in the land, the people will do what is right in their own eyes. Again, no king in Israel. In those days and in our days, there's no leaders in the land. There is no leaders in the churches. There is no leaders in the families. And then where there is no leaders, where there's no kings, where there's no rulers, there is anarchy. The tribe of Dan will now join in the darkness of the sin that originated with Micah's mother. Micah's mother was an idolater. Her son was an idolater. His son was an idolater. The Levite was an idolater. That's the nature of sin. It spreads. Now it's going to spread to a whole tribe of Israel. The tribe of Daniel now will join in the darkness. The sin is now going to spread. Dan had been a tribe with 62,700 men, making them the second largest tribe in Israel behind Judah. Judah, the tribe of praise, the tribe of leading the people into victory. This is the only ones that they were second to, second largest. They were numerous. But, as so often is the case today, they were numerous, but they were not willing to defeat their enemies and claim their inheritance. Look at Judges 1, 34. This is how we started off in the book of Judges. Verse 34, "And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountains, for they would not allow them to come down to the valley." They were forced into the mountains in the beginning of Judges. Here we are 18 chapters later, and now Dan comes back on the scene. They didn't claim their inheritance. The Amorites were more determined than the children of God. Dan decided to now go north and relocate to an easier area. The Danites now decided to covet someone else's land instead of fighting for what the Lord had promised. The Lord had promised the Danites certain land, but they wouldn't fight. They were lazy. They were unbelieving of God. God had had a specific purpose for them. In Joshua 19, we see what the Lord had told the Danites about their land. Joshua 19, verses 40 to 48. I'm not going to read the eight verses. Do that on your own, but look at verse 47 of Joshua 19. And the border of the children of Dan went beyond these. It went beyond what God had decreed because they took a land that didn't belong to them. Because the children of Dan went up to fight against Lishem and took it. And they struck it with the edge of the sword, took possession of it, and dwelt in it. They called Lishem Dan after the name of Dan, their father. Laish is another name for Lishem. They took a land that God never decreed for them. The land that God had decreed for them, their inheritance, they failed to take that land. They were opposed to God's will for their lives. The sin of Micah and the Levite were spreading the sin of unbelief, of distrust, of selfishness. The Danites had two choices. They could repent of their unbelief and trust God to keep His word as they entered the battle, which was God's will for them. Or they could look for a new residence, a comfortable place. Like many today, they look for a new residence, for a comfortable place. Dan was the tribe of the people that chose the easy place. They found it to the north in Laish, a rich, fruitful area. A commentator named Arthur Lewis writes, "Water comes from every rock and hill pouring down from the nearby mountains of Lebanon. This part of Galilee is green and overgrown with all forms of vegetation. The tribe of Dan had seized upon a veritable paradise on earth. It looked good." Just like with Samson, she looked good. Just like with many today, that thing looks good to you. It's the easy place. Dan not only chose the easy place, Dan also chose the easy way. For the citizens of Laish could be easily taken. It says they were secure. They were not a threat to anyone. They were a people that were living in peace. But love of ease was the dominating factor in the thinking of the Danites. They wanted the easy way, the easy place, the easy thing. Is it not so tempting to carve out a Laish for ourselves? A little island of peace where we can live in affluence and forget all about the needy world outside. Throughout the land in America today, the churches are packed with Laishes, where it's nice and sweet and soft, the easy places, the easy ways. That's why you had the flight from the city, why all the white folk ran out of the city and went to the suburbs. They went out to Laish. They got away from the ugliness of the city, the easy place, the easy way. Go throughout the land, nice cushy seats, nice cushy music, everything's cushy, the people are cushy, and the preachers are cushy. Nice and easy. So tempting, we forget all about the hard things. We forget all about that our Master said, pick up your cross. There's no sense of a cross in the church today. Why faith when we can sleep? Why sacrifice when we can settle down? One thing is for sure. If you want to live in Laish and settle down, you'll have to become an idolater. You can go to Laish. Just know that you're going to be an idolater. Preacher, don't give me no hard word. Don't give me this. Don't give me that. Give me my Laish. All you got to do is walk out the door and go down the block. There'll be a Laish there for you. Easy ways, easy places. Your idol will be ease. Matter of fact, your idol is ease. ease, comfort, materialism, as you let the world go on its way to hell. That person next to you is damned. Your neighbor, damned. Your co-worker, damned. But I'm not going to say nothing. They might laugh at me. They might mock me. I'm not coming out for this. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to be this. I'm going to Laish. It's beautiful up in Laish. I want my paradise now, here on earth, just like the Danites. But don't miss the consequences of this commitment to easy living. You're going to find out about the Danites, what happens to the Danites. There's no easy way out of this. There's no easy way out of a cross. There's no easy way out of counting yourself dead. The love of ease. They wanted an easy way out of conflict. Am I talking to anybody here yet? An easy way out of conflict. I don't want to ruffle the feathers of anybody. And the idolatry of it all is it's done on the, oh, I'm a loving kind of person. I ain't going to tell you about your sin because I love you so much. No, you're a coward. That's why preachers don't tell people of their sin. That's why people don't tell other people about their sin, because they want laish. I want it comfortable. I want it soft. I want it easy. Don't tell me about a cross. Don't tell me about death. Don't tell me about mortification. When we fail to obey and trust the Lord in His Word, though it may be difficult at times, we will lose what God would have for us. We would lose what God would have for us. In the book of Chronicles, when the list of the tribes and families in Israel is given, Dan is the only tribe which is totally ignored. Dan did not take what God had given to them, and they took what God had not given to them. God didn't give them Laish. They took it. And if you think that the Danites got away, turn to Revelation chapter 7. Maybe this is where your name will be found. You who would not want to hear the truth, you who would not want to hear the hard words, you who would not want to pick up your cross. Well, here's the tribe of Dan. In the book of Revelation, here it is recorded for all eternity. This Bible is not going to change. You're going to have this Bible for all eternity. The tribe of Dan wanted the easy place. They wanted the easy way. The tribe of Dan, chapter 7, Revelation 5 through 8. Find the tribe of Dan there. Judah, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, Benjamin. 144,000 people, one of the tribes of Israel, the Danites, gone off the pages of history for all eternity. They had their soft thing now. They had their easy thing now. And for all eternity, their great heritage, one of the tribes of Israel, because they wanted the easy, the soft thing. They're off the pages of the 12 tribes, off the pages of Scripture. The love of ease of the Danites went hand in hand with their turn into idolatry. Love of the easy will lead you into idolatry. No commitment, no sacrifice, no victory. Sleepy, sloppy, and slothful. That was their motto. Sleepy, slothful, and sloppy. Many are too lazy to read, to pray, to volunteer, to love, to help, to be Christ-like, to be conformed to His image. I want it soft, I want it sweet, because I am sleepy, slothful, and I'm a Danite. You will not see the great God do great things when you love ease. God will not be mocked. You are saved by grace, but Almighty God will not be mocked. Your love of ease, you will not see this great God do great things. The great God does great things to people that are greatly broken, that greatly understand His grace. The Danites took their inheritance for granted. Judges 18:3-4 goes on to talk of the five spies. While they were at the house of Micah, they recognized the voice of the young Levite. They turned aside and said to him, "Who brought you here? What are you doing in this place? What do you have here?" He said to them, "Thus and so Micah did for me. He has hired me, and I have become his priest." Here it is. They're knocking at the door again. Knocking at the door. Micah heard a knock at the door. It was a false priest. Now the five spies, they come to the door. A problem today is many people, they connect dots. They connect dots. I call it the theology of dots. Because this happened, therefore it must be God. This is God's will for my life. Because there was a knock on the door. Gotta be of God. Five spies now. They're knocking on the door. Last chapter, it was the Levite came knocking on the door. Do not connect dots. Because dots seem to connect with each other does not necessarily mean that that is God Almighty. That could be God Almighty permitting Satan to knock on your door. But we have people, if something supernaturally happens, that equates with that's God Almighty. Yeah, it's something supernatural, but that doesn't mean that it's Almighty God. Just like here. Once again, here, knocking on the door. They open the door. And what happens? Who brought you here? What are you doing? Why are you here? And look at the false priest, what his answer is. He loved these too. Look what his answer is. Verse 4. Thus and so Micah did for me. He's hired me. I become his priest. There's nothing there what God Almighty did for him. It was a man that loved the applause of men, that was influenced by men. Micah did for me. Micah hired me. I have become his priest. I've become this man's priest. You were supposed to be a priest of Almighty God. But Micah did for me. Micah hired me. Micah said it's going to be easy for me. This is going to be an easy thing for me. Not God did for me. Not God hired me. Not God made me. But what Micah did for me, what this idolater did for me. Look at verses 5 and 6. So they said to him, "Please inquire of God." So now here you go. Five people show up at the door. There's the false priest. Okay. Inquire of the Lord for me. Let me know what the Lord's will is for my life. I heard you've been telling Micah what the Lord's will is for his life. One idolater telling another idolater, now a group of idolaters. I heard there's a lot of idolatry going on over here. Could I get in on this? So they said to him, "Please inquire of God." And notice it says of God. It doesn't say, "Please inquire of Yahweh." Don't inquire of the covenant keeping Lord, Yahweh. Inquire of that nebulous God, that one that we're not quite sure of. The God with the small g. Inquire of God that we may know whether the journey on which we will go will be prosperous. And the priest said to them, "Shalom aleichem. Go in peace. Presence of the Lord be with you on your way." If the Danites wanted directions, they should have consulted the high priest. They shouldn't have went to an apostate priest. But then I should have went down to Shiloh where the tabernacle of the Lord was. That's where they were supposed to seek the direction of the Lord. But as all idolaters do, they kind of belly up to the bar together. They all understand each other. By refusing to remain in the land that God assigned them, they were wanting to be blessed when they were out of God's will. Joshua told them what the Lord's will was for their lives, but they wouldn't have it. They wouldn't go up and fight for the land that God had decreed. So like we all do, if you're not going to tell me what I want to hear, I'll go to the guy in the next row. Or I'll go to the church down the block, or the preacher down the block, or I'll go on the internet, I'll go read this book, I'll go anywhere. If you won't tell me what I want to hear, I'll go to the next idolater. And that's exactly what you get. Through the book of Judges, time and time and time again. It wasn't likely God was going to reveal anything to them. They had gone off the ramp in Joshua 19. People think somehow I get out of the will of God, I go over this way, and then the Lord, He's going to meet me over there. He's going to meet you right back where you got off. He don't say, well, whichever one you're happy with. Whatever yes, whatever no that you feel make you happy. He says, no, get right back on the ramp where you got off. The disobedient was seeking counsel from a disobedient priest who gives them a false answer. Go in peace. The Lord's giving you that way. God did not speak through the priest. The answer was not from God, but from a man who claimed to speak for God. Most people in pulpits today, they're no different than, what was her name? Cleo, that knew all the numbers. She didn't know that all the cops were at the door waiting to take her away. She didn't know that. That's the way we are. We find the false teacher, the false priest to tell us what we want to hear. Jeremiah told the people about that. Turn to Jeremiah. False teachers and false priests, they're nothing, no. Nothing new, they speak the same. Jeremiah 6, 12 to 17. And their houses shall be turned over to others, filled and wives together. For I stretch out my hand against the inhabitants of the land, says the Lord. Because from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. Now, I could see why somebody would not want to hear that message. They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly. A person is getting terminally ill with cancer, let me put a Band-Aid on it. Or give you a lollipop and tell you everything's going to be fine. They've healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they did not know how to blush. Most people today, you tell them of their sin, and not only do they get mad at you, there is no sense of repentance, of blushing, of brokenness, of none of that. If anything, it's how dare you tell me of my sin. Jeremiah, he told them of their sin. They were not ashamed at all, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where the good way is. The good way. The good way is not peace, 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 shalom, 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 when you're insisting to do your own will. It is not that. And the people, when they were taken off by Nebuchadnezzar to Babylon, would have prayed to God they had listened to Jeremiah. But he had told them. Verse 17. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. That's the cry of the majority of the church today. We will not listen. As soon as we get out the door, we'll dumb it back down. We'll dumb it back down. That's what the people did in Jeremiah's time. That's what the people are doing in the church today. America, the American church is living at ease. The American church is no different than the church of Laodicea that says, we are rich. We have no need of anything from you, God. We have domesticated you. We put you in a nice little box. Now behave yourself. And that great God is not going to behave himself. That great God will show up in your life. And that's if he loves you. You better pray to God he does show up in your life. Because if he doesn't, he says you're not of him. He doesn't love you. Because God Almighty will not let your name be crossed out from the 144,000. He loves you too much. He loves you too much, but you're at ease in Zion. As I said, people usually seek approval for their decisions by seeking counsel from those who will agree with them instead of those who are in proper authority over them. Well, what did you think of that message today? You know, he was a kind of this way and he was kind of that way. And I don't really think Jeremiah means that. I really don't think judges mean that. So what do you think of that? That's the attitude in Judges. That's the attitude in Jeremiah. Jeremiah is telling them people, listen, you give yourselves over to the Babylonians and you won't be killed. Now you think Jeremiah, they'd have looked at him like he was a traitor. I was in the military. I could imagine telling the Americans, listen, the Russians are coming. God Almighty has said, listen, you all give yourself up and you live. That's what Jeremiah had to do to the Israelites. But we seek counsel from those that will tell us exactly what we want to hear. We usually don't want to go to the one that we're supposed to go to. Be it the child going to the parent, the children go to one another. So, Elise, what do you think? And she'll ask the child sitting next to her, and the child sitting next to her, rather than, hey, Dad, what do you think? Or in the home, the husband and the wife. Feminism is at the forefront today as it was in the days of Rome. Not, husband, what do you think? This is the way we're going to do it. And you're going to bow down to me. Or a pastor. I don't like what Pastor Bill said. What do you think about that, Dave? Joe, what do you think about it? Well, Joe, that's another story. Sorry about that. Matt, you want to go and ask Joe. The people got what they wanted to hear, but lost what they had later on. Like many today. They got what they wanted, but lost what they had. A lot of you, God has given what you wanted. He permitted you to have what you wanted. But you lost what you had. Where's your joy? Where's your joy? Where's your rejoicing? Why don't you have no joy? Why don't you have no peace? Why is there all the pain, heartache, disaster? God gave you what you wanted. Because you really didn't want him. You had a whole bunch of idols in your heart. And God said, all right, you can have them. Because there was a knock on the door. He said, gotta be of the Lord. Gotta be of the Lord. And the church today is notorious for that. Connecting the dots. I opened it up, and Judas hung himself. I opened it up. Do it quickly. What, Matt, what do you think about that? Let me get another opinion on that one. They got what they wanted, but lost what they had. They reaped what they had sown. The Levite gives his approval. Your journey has the Lord's approval. The Levite doesn't know what the Lord's will is for his life. But he confidently directs others. I see that all the time. A person's life is a mess and somebody comes to them for help. It's like, why would you want to go there? I give you a perfect example. Here's a Bono song. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Okay, let me follow him. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Let me follow him. He must have the answers. He doesn't know the Levite, the Lord's will for his life. He's knocking on Micah, the idolater's door. And now here, we'll get his opinion. Go attack a people. Look what it says, verse 7. His opinion, go in peace. The five men departed, went to Laish, saw the people there, how they dwelt safely, quiet, secure, no rulers in the land. People dwelt safely, quiet, secure, no ties to anyone. Gotta admit, sounds so smooth, doesn't it? Sounds so easy. so wonderful. The path of least resistance. That's why they went there. The path of least resistance. Smooth talkers usually tell you of the smooth roads and the smooth paths. That's the nature of smooth talkers. That's the nature of, if you're a used car salesman, they're a smooth talker. Smooth. The path of least resistance. God certainly wouldn't want that for you. He wouldn't want you working hard, digging in, getting to it day after day, picking up your cross. See, doesn't it say somewhere in the Bible, let go and let God? It doesn't say that in the Bible, does it? But I've heard that from many people. Let go and let God. And then all of a sudden, knock on the door, connecting dots, idolatry, my life is a mess once again. And so-and-so told me over here, verses 8 through 10, the counsel of despisers to attack. False prophet, false priest, tells the spies, Lord's going to bless you. The spies go to the 600 men in verses 11 through 13. So now you talk about the idolatry. All for Micah's mother. Micah, the son, the Levite, the five spies. Now let's get the whole tribe involved. Just like the heresies that you see in the church today. There was one Micah's mother. You go to every heresy in the church. Micah's mother was there somewhere. And she got a hold of Micah's ear. And then Micah said, you know, I'm going to bless my son with this idolatry. Until you got a whole tribes of people now following idols, idolatry. 600 men now, they're going to become idolaters. Stop on the way at the house of Micah. So now, once again, here's Micah's house. Here's Micah's house, the 600 men, look at verses 11 through 13. And 600 men of the family of the Danites. See? Sin. Danites went from there. Zorah, notice down in verse 13, they passed from there to the mountains of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah. So now from Micah's mama, the 600 Danites. Sin increases. Micah sins, his mother sins, the Levite sins. Now 600 will sin. And what does it say? Verses 14 through 18. I can't go through it all. Look at verse 14. They say, consider what you should do. Here's the Danites now. Here's a house full of idols. Consider what you should do. Verse 15. So they turned aside there and came to the house of the young Levite. The 600 men armed with the weapons stood by the entrance of the gate. Then the five men who had gone out to spy out the land entered in there. They took the carved image, the ephod, the household idols, and the molded image. The priest stood at the entrance of the gate with the 600 men armed with weapons of war. Verse 18. When these went into Micah's house and took the carved image, the ephod, the household idols, and the molded image, the priest said to them, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know what they should have been doing? Deuteronomy 12. Verses 12 and 2 tells us what they should have been doing. They should have been doing what Micah's mother should have did. Micah should have did. Micah's son should have did. The Levite should have did. The five spies should have did. This is what the 600 men should have did. Deuteronomy 12, verses 2 and 3 tells us, you shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall dispossess serve their gods, on the high mountains and on the hills and on under every green tree. And you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and burn their wooden images with fire. You shall cut down the carved images of their gods and destroy their names from that place. Verse 4, you shall not worship the Lord your God with such things. And if you go today to your brothers and sisters in Christ and tell them of their images and their idols, then you're not loving. But the Bible says that you would be obeying God. When you see a house full of idols, You don't take the idols and become part of them and join yourself up with them. They should have burnt the idols and burnt Micah in the house with them. And whoever else was there. Now that's a hard word. But God says that's how you deal with idolatry. But what happens? Verses 19 and 20. Go back to Judges 18. After he makes that great statement. What are you doing? You see them picking up the idols going out the door. What are they doing? Verses 19 and 20. And they said to him, be quiet. Be quiet. Put your hand over your mouth and come with us. Be a father and a priest to us. Is it better for you to be a priest to the household of one man? Or that you should be a priest to a tribe and a family in Israel? So the priest's heart was glad. See? He was an idolater at heart. He had all the gear on. He looked nice and religious. So the priest's heart was glad. And he took the ephod, the household idols, and the carved image, and took his place among the people. He was just like the people. An idolater, just like the people. They quiet the preacher with what? With some money. Give me some money. Give me a little bit of money. I won't tell you about your sin no more. Give me a little bit of money. Matter of fact, I help you carry them idols out the door. I'll bring you them verses that seem to indicate, you know, you can be an idolater and still be saved. While you're in your idolatry, I'll tell you about your assurance. I'll tell you about the perseverance of the saints. Well, I should say the perseverance of God with the saints. Don't tell me about the idols. See? Be quiet. Preacher, put your hand over your mouth and come with us. Sound familiar today? Why do you think the health and wealth guys are driving their Bentleys around? Because that's what they want. So I got to drive a Bentley if you're going to drive one. It's only fair. If I got to be quiet, you got to quiet me down with a Bentley. Quiet me down with a couple mansions. Put your hand over your mouth. And not only that, they give them the money. Notice what else they give them, a little prestige. Come on now, you don't want it just one family. Come on. You could be an idolater. You could be a preacher for a whole tribe. Not just one little family. You're going to be on TV. You're going to have a lot of things before your name and after your name. You'll be on TV, on the radio, on the internet. We're going to make sure things go well for you. Some money, some prestige, and some seemingly power. Power of man given to another man. Because after all, if you remember earlier on, the Levite had said, well, Micah did for me. Micah did for me. As opposed to John the Baptist stood there and said, you brood of vipers, you idolaters, repent of your sins. John the Baptist didn't have to take the demographics before he went out into the desert. He didn't go down to Brooks Brothers and pull out the three-piece suit. He had the camel hair on. And he didn't put on the food channel and come up with the best food, eating the locusts and the honey. He didn't do the demographics of it all. The Danites, and what did they do? Now they steal Micah's idols and his preachers. If you ever notice, like when you're dealing drugs, the drug dealer gets ripped off by the other drug dealers. That's the way that it works. And then they get ripped off by some more drug dealers. Or if you're stealing money, then the other guy comes and steals your money. So here's the Danites now. Micah had stolen. He understood that sin. Micah had stolen his mother's money, if you remember back in Judges 17. Micah stole his mother's money and made idols. So now here comes the tribe of Dan, and what did they do? They take his money and his idols. It's only right. You know that old saying is true. You're going to reap just what you sow. That saying is absolutely true. Micah. Now, the preacher for hire goes to the highest bidder. Micah, gone to the highest bidder. His mother, give him the gold. Now, the preacher is for hire. Gone to the highest bidder. He was using God, like many preachers today, for selfish means. You take away the title, you take away the money, you take away the prestige, you take away the seeming power, and you see what you got. You see if you got a John the Baptist, or you got a hireling. What does he say? Put your hand over your mouth, don't you dare tell me of my sin. So here he is, selfish means. Here's the Danites, selfish means. And as I said, this goes on today, not only in the pulpit, but in front of the pulpit. Not only preachers in the pulpit, but people on the other side of the pulpit today use God for selfish means. How's that, preacher? Some people, they go to church with no intention for service. No intention. That's selfish means. That's like the Levite. That's like the Danites. Selfish means. No intention of service. No intention of commitment to Christ. Many today come to church to feel better. Or maybe to be accepted. Or maybe to receive charity. That's selfish means. Or maybe, which is becoming increasingly so, for business contacts. Oh, by the way, brother, you know, the Lord's been laying it on my heart to introduce you to this new product that I'm about. That's selfish means. That's like the Levite. The attitude is, what can I get out of church instead of what can I contribute? How can I contribute? How can I be a blessing? How can I strengthen the Lord's people? And the question is, do you come here for selfish means? You that would be listening to this message, do you go to church for selfish means? What can I get out of the church? Friends, contacts, money, friendship. You're in it just like the Levite. The Levite was in it for selfish means. That was it. He wasn't in for laying his life down for nobody but himself. He wanted to lay down his life, all right, in a bed of ease. That's what he wanted to lay his life down. Verses 21 through 26, back in Judges 18, tells us the Danites take off with Micah's gods. Look over there with me. I'll just skim it off the top. I'm not going to read the five verses. From 21 to 26. They turned, departed, put the little ones, the livestock, the goods in front of them. They were a good way from the house of Micah. Then they call out to the children of Dan, so they turned around and said to Micah. So Micah, the Danites take off with Micah's gods. Micah then forms a posse. Then Micah catches up with the Danites. In verse 23, look what they say. And they call out to the children of Dan. Here's Micah and his posse now. They call out to the children of Dan, so they turned around and said to Micah, what ails you that you've gathered such a company? What ails you? What's wrong? What's the problem? And we see Micah the brave in verse 24. And if you are trusting anything but God Almighty, this is your answer too. Verse 24. So he said, you've taken away my gods, which I have made, and the priest, and you have gone away. Now what more do I have? What more do I have? What more do I have? The man with the man-made gods. How many today have man-made gods? All the Lord got to do is take X, Y, and Z out of your life, and you are crushed. You are destroyed. Because you are saying, as Micah said, now what more do I have? And we're supposed to be a royal priesthood of to God? You have God Almighty. That is your inheritance. If He takes everything out of your life. But Micah, what do I have? Isaiah warned the people about the man-made gods. Many today, this is why you're in the condition you are. Because you are an idolater. Isaiah 46, 1 through 7. Bel bows down, Nebo stoops. Their idols were on the beast and on the cattle. Your carriages were heavily loaded, a burden to the weary beast. They stooped, they bowed down together. They could not deliver the burden, but have themselves gone into captivity. Sounds like Micah's gods. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel who have been upheld by me from birth. Child of God, God has upheld you from birth, who have been carried from the womb even to your old age. I am He, and even to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we should be alike? They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver on the scales. They hire a goldsmith and he makes it a god. They prostrate themselves. Yes, they worship. They bear it on the shoulder. They carry it and set it in its place and it stands. From its place it shall not move. Though one cries out to it, yet it cannot answer nor save him out of his trouble. Micah lost it all. No joy, no peace, no deliverance, because as it has been repeated over and over and over in the book of Judges, Micah and many today are doing what is right in their own eyes. That is what the book of Judges from the beginning to the end is. And everybody did what was right in their own eyes. That's the mindset of people today, is this individualism. I will do my own thing. That was the hippie cry of the 60s. I will do my own thing. The only problem is that goes back to the 1600s, to Descartes, with his philosophy of individualism. We are all our own little gods. And the book of Judges is what happens to a people when they think that they can run their lives. The book of Judges ends that way. From beginning to end. And it just increases, increases. It's like a ratchet. Up a little higher, up a little higher. What's that sound? Torque wrench? It gets a little harder and a little harder and goes a little higher and higher. From Judges 1 to Judges 18 and to Judges 19 through 21, which is basically you can't even preach those chapters in mixed company. I would have to have the children leave the building and the women with them. And some of the men would be a little shaky. This is where sin leads that is not repented of. This individualistic, I will do things my own way. There's no king in Israel. Micah's God disappointed him in the end. Man-made gods will disappoint you in the end, such as money. That's where you hear everybody. It's either, what's the weather like or what's the money like? That's it. That's most people, the extent of their conversation. Nice weather, bad weather, the economy's taking a hit. Or it looks like it's edging its way back up. Man-made gods, such as money, people, success, possessions, popularity, business, fame, relationships. Let us never forget the man-made god, lastly, of religion. The opiate of the masses. The man-made god of religion. Your man-made gods will leave you like Micah. Leaving with his tail between his legs. Look at verse 26 of Judges 18. We see the tough guy that, We see the tough guy that he was in verse 26. Then the children of Dan went their way, and when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back to his house. That's where his idolatry led him. All his possessions taken away from him, all his idols taken away from him, shamed, and he leaves, returning home with nothing. And the Danites, we see with them, one idolater leaves, then a tribe of idolaters set forth, and they were going to fulfill the prophecy of Genesis 49. So what happened with Dan? Didn't catch God off guard. It wasn't a second plan for God. It wasn't plan A, plan B, plan C. Genesis 49:17 says, Dan shall be a serpent by the way, a viper by the path that bites the horse's heels, so that its rider shall fall backwards. There were a bunch of deceivers. The prophecy came to pass. A bunch of deceivers. Judges 18:27-29 tells us that God did not ordain that attack. Idolaters, brothers and sisters, have no command, no regard for the commands of God. That's known as antinomianism. You're against the law. And it's really wicked when it's against the law under the guise of grace. Once saved, always saved, so therefore I can do whatever I want. That's antinomianism, full blown. We're all going to sin every single day. But we, as Luther says, we are to repent daily. A Christian's life is to be one of repentance day after day after day after day. The book of Judges is the history of Israel, not repentance. Just going from beginning to end in the book of Judges. Look at verses 30 and 31. Shows us where the ideas of men will lead. When you don't want to obey the commands of God, when you don't want to obey authority, when you want to do things your own way, look at the end of Judges 18. Then the children of Dan set up for themselves the carved images, and Jonathan, the son of Gershon, that was the Levite's name, Jonathan, the son of Manasseh, and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity. It will lead you to captivity until the day of the captivity of the land, verse 31. So they set up for themselves Micah's carved image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. Here was the house of God. Here was the tabernacle of meeting. But they set up their own little idol factory. That's where the ideas of men will lead us. The worship of idols as opposed to the worship of God, the true worship of God. Notice it says they set up for themselves when all the time the house of God was in Shiloh. A tribe of people who wanted to worship God their own way with their own ideas of God. There is always darkness, brothers and sisters, when people do what is right in their own eyes. For there was no king in Israel those days, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. When you read the book of Judges, in closing, I just want to read you the words of the song. When you read in the book of Judges, keep this song in the back of your mind. If you can read and have it in the back of your mind. And it's from a fellow from Hoboken popularized the song. And the song is called My Way. This is the book of Judges. You want to wrap up the book of Judges? This is the book of Judges. I'm not going to sing it now. I'm going to say the words. I don't want you all running out of here. And now, the end is near. The end is here. And so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this. I did it my way. Regrets? I've had a few. But then again, too few to mention. There ain't even much to talk about those regrets. Too few to mention. I did what I had to do and saw it through without exception. I planned each charted course. See, I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this. After all, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, you seen me get jammed up quite a few times. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. Joe, sound like counseling session, doesn't it? When I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all, and I stood tall and did it my way. I've loved, I've laughed, and cried. I've had my fill, my share of losing. And now, as tears subside, I find it all so amusing. I find it all so amusing. Think of the horror and the tragedy in your life. I find it all so amusing. You want to see amusing? Read chapters 19 through 21 of the book of Judges. And meditate on that for a couple months. You'll be amused. I find it all so amusing to think I did all that. And may I say, now here's the humility of it all comes out. And to think I did all that, and may I say, not in a shy way, oh no. Oh no, not me. I did it my way. Not in a shy way. Oh no. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself. See, that's the essence of the I. That's the essence of individualism. If not himself, then he has naught. He has nothing to say the things, now listen how blasphemous this is, to say the things he truly feels and not the words of one who kneels. See? Not the words of one who kneels. See, you have to bend your knee, tell God, not my way, your way. To say the things he truly feels and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows and did it my way. Yes, it was my way. That's the essence of the book of Judges, brothers and sisters. And sad to say, that's the essence of many in the church today. We're to serve this great God. We're to serve the one that hung on the cross. The one that said, if I be lifted up, he did it his way. If I be lifted up, then I'll draw all men and women unto myself. And I'll turn your hearts and turn your desires so that you will pray as I prayed to my Father at one time. Not my will be done, but your will be done. The book of Judges is the history of the Israelites that wanted their will to be done. And our great God will not permit anything less than his will to be done. When you say to our Father, not our will be done, but your will be done. And brothers and sisters, join with me and look into the cross, for all of us need to repent of our sins day by day. Because all of us, from the moment we wake up to the moment we lay our heads down, it's a constant battle with this body of death. Every one of us, you'd never reach a place, if you say 5 minutes or 50 years, you don't reach a place that you can say, I got this thing under control. It's a struggle, it's a battle from the day you're saved to the day you go back to glory. But the book of Judges is people that turn their back from Almighty God and walk the opposite way. And say, I'm going to do this my way. I'm going to have my laish here now. I'm going to enjoy myself on this planet. Brothers and sisters, we have an eternity. We have an eternity. And we're to be spent out now, here and now, for our great God. For he is worthy. He's worthy. He's died for us. He's paid the price that we can go to heaven. Amen.